I would like to welcome all of our visitors today. We're certainly thankful to have all of you with us. And again, I ask for your prayers this morning. I'd like to read just a very short reading lesson found in one of my favorite books in the Bible, I believe. If you'd like to read with me, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and I'd like to read the first three verses for a scripture reading this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's reading Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 for a lesson text. Title of my message today will be, Through Faith, We Understand. And the point that I want to make in this today, and this is the thought that the Lord has impressed upon my heart. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of different things in the world today that people believe. There's a lot of different things that people believe in. There's a lot of different things that people are trusting in. But I'm here today to declare before you once again, I believe in God. Amen. And I believe His Word. I believe that God has given us the truth. If we look to men and we look to their understanding of science and we listen to many of the opinions of man concerning the origin of the human race, concerning the origin of the world, all you will come away with is a theory. A man-made, conjured-up theory. But I am convinced today, as I stand before you, I am convinced that the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Holy Bible, gives to us the factual account of creation. And only through faith do we understand that. There are things that are too big for you and I to comprehend. There are things that are too big for you and I to be able to understand how that they happened. And I want you to think with me for just a moment about what the Hebrew writer said here. When he said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, he did not say that through faith we understand how the worlds were framed by the Word of God. He didn't say through faith that we understand how that God did the things that He did. If you go to the 38th chapter of the book of Job and read that chapter, you will find out there that we can't understand how that God created the things that He did. He put those questions before Job, and he even asked Job, if you can explain it to me, you tell me how the corners are fastened. You tell me how that... these things that I did, explain to me how I did them. If you've got understanding of it, declare it unto me. And of course, Job could not do that, and we cannot do that. And so it's not through faith that we understand how that God did the things that He did. Through faith, we understand that He did do them. And there are things, many things in the Scriptures that we read about that simply cannot be explained. They can't be explained. They cannot be rationalized. They cannot be understood. And I suppose that for me, the one thing I believe in the Scripture, and you know, some other thought might be this for you, but for me, I think when I read the Scriptures and I study all about God and everything that He did, the hardest thing for me to grasp, I mean, I am not capable of wrapping my mind around this, is the fact that God has no origin. I can't understand that. I cannot understand in my mind anything that did not have a point of beginning. Through being saved and through being given eternal life, we can somewhat understand the continuance, the eternal continuance of something or someone, but to say that someone has no beginning is just beyond my comprehension. But that's true about God. That's absolutely true about God. God has always been. Psalm 90, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God is from eternity to eternity. God has always been, and He always will be. Nobody created Him, but He created all things. And so many things about the Scriptures, as I said, cannot be understood. They cannot be made rational in the minds of men because they defy all logic, and many times they defy all the laws of physics. I don't know how that somebody could possibly just take some dust off of the ground and fashion it and form it and make it into a human body. But God did that, didn't He? And I'm convinced that, I don't know how you think about this, but I'm convinced that when God did that, when He took that dust from the ground and He formed man from the dust of the ground, He formed the outward part of man from the dust of the ground, that He made every organ. He made a complete body when He did that. And that body was after He had formed it and fashioned it from dust. I mean, look at the human race today. Look at the human race through the years. Look at all of the things that the human family has accomplished through the years. I mean, God can really do something with a little bit of dust. Isn't that amazing? That everything you see today, I mean, this world is filled with millions and millions of people, and our origin was a little bit of dust from the ground. And you know what the Bible says? What the Bible teaches me? That we're going to live here for a little while in these bodies, and then we're going to go back to the dust from where we were taken. But that's an amazing concept, and God created that body, and He formed that body with everything that it needed, but it was there, and it was lifeless. It wasn't moving, it wasn't doing anything, and God Himself breathed into that man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Now that's exactly what I am, not only what I believe, but I am convinced that that is how man had his beginning. That God took dust and made one man and breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And then I know that to the human mind, I know that this sounds strange and far-fetched, but God, from that one man, from Adam, he took a rib from him and he made him a suitable companion. And I don't care what people say, and I don't care what they begin to teach in our society. Today, a woman, in the eyes of God, is the only suitable companion for a man. Amen. That's it. That was God's plan then, and it's still God's plan today. And so he made a woman, and then we find that he told them to be fruitful and multiply and procreate, and children begin to be born into the world. That's how the human family came into the world, and through faith we can understand that. Through faith we understand that that happened. It's absurd to think that we're here by any other means. It's absurd to think that we're here by happenstance, or that we're here by, I don't believe this stuff. I'm just going to be honest with you today. I don't believe this stuff about the Big Bang Theory and all that. I believe what God told us, what God's Word taught us. If man, in my simple mind, all I've been able to ever ask is, if man evolved from a monkey, why aren't the monkeys still evolving? Why isn't it still happening? We didn't come from a lower life form. We are the work of the hands of God. As the scriptures tell us, as David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We are God's work in creation. And so are the monkeys. I don't know if you, I might just put this in. I don't know if you ever heard the little story. You probably have. The little story about even the monkeys denying that man came from them. Because you know what? They said, you never seen a monkey sit on a stool and drink until he was blind drunk and then take a knife and take another monkey's life. You never seen a monkey do that. They didn't come from us. It's really a shame what man slipped into, isn't it? I mean, it's really a shame the sin that man became guilty of, but we did. We transgressed, a man transgressed the very law of his creator. And friends, listen, we are responsible to our creator. There's people in the world today that don't think they're responsible to anybody for anything. I'll do what I want to do. And that attitude has been around, not just today, but it's been around for years and years. I will do whatever I want to do with my body. I will sin however I want to sin. It's not your choice, it's my choice, and nobody has anything to say about it. I'll do what I want to do. But I want to tell you something today, friends, and you mark this, and you make note of this in your mind, and you consider this in your heart, that every one of us is responsible to God for how we live this life, for how we spend our time in this world, and we will all stand before God one day, and we will give an account unto our Creator for the things that we have done in this world. And don't ever think that you're going to escape that. Don't ever think that God is not watching you. Don't ever think that God is not keeping a record and that He does not know everything about your life. You're going to stand before God one day according to the scriptures, according to the teachings of God's holy word. You're going to stand before your Creator and you're going to account to Him for your life. You know what? You may believe that today or you may not, but I'm going to promise you today by the authority of God's word that you are going to stand before God. The Apostle Paul said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and there give an account of the things that we have done in the body, whether they're good or bad. And we will. So through faith, we understand this fact that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, that God created us. There are many, many other things, and I want to share just a few of them today in this message for your thought and your consideration. But there are many things in the Bible that I can't understand them. I mean, I can't understand for the life of me how that it would possibly happen. But, you know, the lack of my ability to understand doesn't make me disbelieve. You know, people need to get past this thought of you've got to see it to believe it. I don't have to see it to know it's real. I don't have to see something to believe it. In fact, there's a lot of things that I see with my eyes, to be honest with you, that I don't believe. I saw a man on television one time. He put this woman in a box and took a saw and sawed her in half. You know what? I didn't believe it for a minute. I saw it, but it was just an illusion. There are things that we don't see, friends, that are a lot more real than many of the things that we do see. I don't see God. I've never seen God. The Bible tells me that there's no man that could even look upon God in His full glory and even live, but I know that He's real. I know that I've not seen heaven yet. I said yet. I've not seen heaven. But I'm here to declare today that it's real. It's real. It's a real place. And it's got real inhabitants. And they're real, real happy. Everybody that's there and everybody that's going to be is going to be happy in that land. I don't understand the things that happened to Jonah. I've heard many people try to explain it away, but you know, this man, he didn't mind God. God told him to do something. He told him to go preach to those people of Nineveh, and he didn't listen to God, and he tried to run away, and he got on a ship, and he tried to get away from God, and he ended up in the sea, and a fish swallowed that man. And he went down inside of that fish for 3 days and lived. I don't understand that, do you? I really don't. I mean, I don't understand a human being down. Jonah talked about the weeds and everything down there at the bottoms of the mountains being around him. I mean, this man was down in the sea in a fish and he was alive, and that's just too much for me to comprehend. And because of that, there have been a lot of people that say, listen, that wasn't true. That didn't happen. That's just a myth. That's just a fable. But I want to tell you something today, friends. As I stand before you and bring this message, I believe that long ago that there was a man that lived on the earth whose name was Jonah. And he disobeyed God and he angered God to the point that he was cast into the sea and a fish swallowed him. Amen. And he lived in that fish for 3 days and three nights. I believe it. The argument has been made, well, of course it wasn't called a whale until the New Testament. Jesus said that a whale, that Jonah was in the belly of a whale. The Old Testament didn't use the word whale. But many have made the argument, well, you see, that couldn't have been true. That could not have been true because a whale can't swallow a man. You know, the passage, the throat of a whale is too small to swallow a man. So if he did, get swallowed, it must not have been a whale. Maybe it was a shark that swallowed him. But I'll tell you what, you know, I could make the argument, I think if a shark swallowed him, he wouldn't have been alive down there because he would have tenderized him on the way down. I mean, you can make all kinds of silly arguments to try to disprove and dispute the Word of God. But you know what the Bible tells me? Jonah 2:17. Listen, it wouldn't make any difference, to be honest with you. It wouldn't make any difference if it was a whale. It wouldn't make any difference if it was a great white shark. It wouldn't make any difference if it was a crappie. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 2 verse 17 that the Lord prepared a fish to swallow up Jonah. And that's exactly what he did. That fish served the purpose for which God had prepared it. You know, listen, many times fish and donkeys, I mean, we read about a donkey in the Old Testament, about how that God used that donkey to accomplish His purpose. And the sad part of it is that we can find many accounts in the Scriptures where a fish or a donkey or the sun or the moon or the stars or something of that nature, animals don't have an eternal soul like men do. The sun and the moon and the stars, they're not going to live on in eternity like men are. But oftentimes we can read in the Scriptures where those things serve the purpose for which God had for them and honored Him in that even more at times than His own children seem to honor Him. And I think that's what Isaiah was saying in that verse of Scripture that I tried to quote and got all messed up here a couple weeks ago. I believe that's what Isaiah was saying there in the first chapter of Isaiah about the animals. The ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people do not consider. He was saying that the animals are doing a better job of honoring me in what they're supposed to do than what my people are. Well, that's sad, isn't it? I believe that what Jesus said concerning the stones would have exactly happened had His people not given Him the praise due to His name. Do you believe today that the rocks that lay on the ground, that you never hear a word from a rock? If you're having a conversation with a rock, we might need to talk. I mean, they don't say a thing to you. They don't speak to you. They're lifeless. They just lay there. They won't move unless you move it, unless you pick it up and throw it or something. A rock will lay there and do nothing. But Jesus Christ said that if His people don't glorify Him, the stones will cry out and do it. I believe they would. But I'll tell you what, even if they did, they wouldn't be able to glorify Him the way that somebody can that's been redeemed. Those rocks don't know anything about redemption. They don't know anything at all about having been dead in sin, lost and separated from God, and then made alive and created in Christ Jesus. Boy, lost friend, listen, you need to be saved. You just don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing out on. I'm glad today that I'm a child of the King. We read in the Bible on more than one occasion where God divided a body of water. And I mean immediately upon that being done, God divided that water and His people walked through it on dry ground. Now that doesn't make any sense. I've been out by the lakes and the creeks and stuff in my life, and listen, when a creek or a lake, when that water begins to go down, that ground that it had been covering, it will take it a while to dry up. I mean, for a while, it will be muddy. It'll be soft. It'll still be wet. And it takes a process of time for that ground to dry up. But God opened up the Red Sea and God divided the waters of the Jordan. And when he did that, they stepped in there and they were standing on dry ground. I heard somebody say one time, well, they must have got a little bit of mud on their shoes. No, they didn't. They stepped in there on dry ground, just like the Word tells us. Just like the Bible tells us. Well, it may be hard for you today to imagine. And I think if we don't do anything but use our carnal minds, it is hard to imagine. But keep in mind, the Hebrew writer said these things that took place in creation through faith, we understand these things. So it may be hard today for you to think about or to imagine that somewhere beyond this life, there is a beautiful heaven. There is a place that God has prepared for his people. There is a place where we are going to dwell forever in the presence of Almighty God. And we're going to gather around the throne and we're going to sing and we're going to worship him there forever and forever. That may be hard in your mind to grasp, but friends, listen, it's true. God told us about it in his holy writ. He told us about it in his holy word, and it's real and it's true. Lost friend, it may be hard for you to imagine a lower world, a place of unquenchable fire, a place where people are tormented forever and forever. But friends, I want you to know something today. It's real and it exists, and it's a true place. And the souls of them that fail to get right with God are going to spend an eternity in that awful place. And the 20th chapter of Revelation tells me that there is coming a day when the book of life is going to be opened, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I'm convinced today that that's just exactly how it's going to be. Those that are not written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of eternal fire, damnation forever and forever, with no escape, no escape. It's hard to imagine in our minds that God, the God of heaven, the God of all creation, the God that made us, the God that made everything, the God that created the sun and the moon and the stars and the animals and the seas and the mountains and everything that we see, that God himself came into the world and walked the earth in a human body. That's hard to understand in your carnal mind, isn't it? But I'll tell you today, I am convinced that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. He proved himself to me when he saved my soul, took up his abode in my heart. For we know, those of us that are saved, we know. I'm glad for what faith has done for us, aren't you? I'm thankful for that saving faith that God granted me, that faith that God granted me that allowed me to believe to the saving of the soul, because those of us that have been saved, we know. That's exactly what the scriptures tell us. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Why do people argue that? Why do people dispute that? Because they don't know. We know. Paul was addressing those who had been saved, and he said, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. My wife and I, we have a little house not far from here that we live in, we dwell in. Some man built it back in the late 1970s. We stay there. We sleep there. We eat there. We live there. A dwelling place. Before long, we'll leave it behind. You'll leave yours behind too, won't you? That little dwelling place you got here, I don't care how good you fixed it up, you'll leave it behind here before too long. We have a house, those of us who are saved, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And Paul said, in this we groan. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you something today. I'm glad I've been saved. I'm glad that I know the Lord and a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And the older that I get, and every year of my life that passes, it seems to me that I desire more and more to go and live in that house that God has prepared for me. I want to go there. I'm content. I'm just trying to be honest with you today. I'm content to stay here and work for the Lord as long as He wants me to work for Him. But down in my soul, down in that inward man, there's a yearning there to be with God. There's a yearning there to see the place that He's prepared for me. When I move in there, I'm not leaving anymore. I'm going to be there to stay and dwell there with God for all of eternity. These things we can only embrace through our faith. That's the only way. Through faith, we understand that God framed the world. Through faith, we understand that He made man. Through faith, we understand that He sent His Savior, He sent His Son into the world to be the Savior of all mankind. Through faith, we understand and we are made to know by the witness of God's Holy Spirit that we've been saved by His grace. Through faith, we understand that there's a heaven awaiting us that we'll occupy here in a little while. Through faith, I preach the gospel. Through faith. Through faith, we do all these things and we understand all these things until we reach that point that our faith ends in revelation, that it ends in sight of what God has prepared for His people. And so, I guess today that the point that I had to try to make today, the burden of my heart today, was just to come and to tell you folks today, I believe the old book. I believe God's Word. I believe it's going to be just the way that God said it was going to be. They may dispute it. They may dispute His truth. They took it through the years and they tried to burn it and they tried to destroy it, but they never could. And it will stand. And I'll tell you what, you can take this Bible right here. You could take my Bible and you could light it on fire. It's made of paper and I guarantee you it would burn. It would burn. But you would not destroy the Word of God if you burned every Bible in the world. God said, "My Word will stand forever." You won't destroy it. You know, people have come along through the years and they have made translation after translation. But I'll tell you what, you'll never destroy God's Word with a translation. God said, "My Word will stand forever." And it will. It will stand when the world is on fire. The truth of God will stand. So I believe the things that God has told us, and that it will be just as He has said. I hope that you do. I pray that you that are lost will take God at His word, and that you will believe to the saving of your soul. That's my message today, and I hope that something has been said in this that's been a help to somebody in some way. Brother Ronnie, if you would, let's have a hymn together.